This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Yes, it is DiPietro and Rothenberg, and if you are waking up, getting the sleep out of your eye, wondering to yourself, you know, I wonder if Dave decided to come back from vacation early, the answer is no. Very clear no. Yes, we are off and running on this wonderful Wednesday morning. It is DiPietro and Damer once again on 98.7 FM, ESPN New York, a jam-packed 3 hours. We got the Yankees, they just keep on winning. Oh, they just keep winning. The Knicks, they have themselves a point guard. And the Mets maybe have a couple of issues. But before we get to all that, of course, we have to start the morning by saying a big good morning to the one and only, the great Rick DiPietro. Rick, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gordon. I don't want to hear it. Don't start the show like this today because you're already gloating. I see the smile on your face.
I'm happy to be with a good bunch of guys and doing the show again. Morning drive.
Don't the Mets understand? Did they not get the memo that I'm stuck with you for the week? That I need a, can I get a win?
Wow.
Can I get win? You had the day off. Come back. Can Carrasco give me something?
Posed the question to you yesterday. Do the Mets have anything to prove against the Astros? And look, mission accomplished. They accomplished nothing last night.
They have nothing to prove to the Astros. They have something to prove to you, obviously, because I can't take another 3 hours of you gloating about your Yankees.
I have to hit on what the topics of the show are going to be, no? I just leave the Yankees out.
Trolling Mets fans.
I'm happy to be part of this team. This is a great team. I love being part of this team here in the morning. And I thought I would just show a little happiness in the morning. Am I supposed to be all glum and
no.
gloom and doom?
It's your day today. This is usually Rothenberg's day. This is your day today.
It is, and I don't know how it's going to go over because, you know, people have come to expect Wednesday is Stump Rothenberg, and we are switching it up today. They will not be Stump Rothenberg on this show. We are switching it up.
No, but I think, listen, the expectation on Wednesdays is that somebody on the show will get to accentuate their greatness. It's Wednesdays, it's Dave.
That's not the expectation. That might be the expectation for you, my friend. I do not get the expectation from the company that they expect that there will be something other than Stump Rothenberg, but we will do what I learned on TikTok. It's a brilliant new segment that I've come up with. Some might say it's the best segment on the station. I've heard that, Rick.
And here it is. This is you filling in perfectly for Dave. Ego, just the out of control, patting yourself on the back. I love it.
I'm just saying this is what people have said. Now, it is people in my own family, but it's still those are still people. They still count. They're listeners.
Your wife's not saying that. She's mad at you.
No, she's not. She has not heard the segment. She's not popping that on. You know, people will come up to her and say, you know, oh, I really like what Gordon. She has no idea what I've done.
Hey, honey, how about this segment? How about you go to Costco and you get the products for your party? How about that segment?
Well, look, I did check yesterday after the show was over. The plants are still intact. They have not been eaten by the deer as of yet. But of course, the party is still days away.
Boom.
Yeah. Deer. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a couple days from now, the deer are just going to stop where they are. It just shows you how stupid deer are. They're just walking on grass all day long and they eat grass. They could just stay where they are. They don't have to walk anywhere. But they'll smell the hint of fresh flowers in the air and they'll just come right up the path and chow down.
Do you want to obliterate the deer?
Yeah, maybe they're just smarter than you think. Maybe, like, you know who we're going to mess with today? Let's go mess with Gordon again.
Maybe.
He's going to have a party coming up. Let's go eat his new plants. Sounds like a good time.
Well, we'll still have the baked beans later on, but
Not for the deer. No, not for them.
All right.
There's
well,
no
look,
chance you're making the baked beans. There's not zero chance you're making the baked beans.
This might happen. You might guilt me into making this. I might be forced to. Whether or not I don't even know that I really want them. I just thought that they sounded good. But now, you know, if you doubt, I'm like Kyrie Irving. If you doubt me, I'm going to do it just out of spite.
Be different. Dare to be different, buddy.
Yeah. Some dare to be different by making recipes they have no business making. Others by accepting contracts for almost $37 million.
Similar. I mean, you got right there. You're right there.
You know, different strokes for different folks, people. Everybody has their thing.
I want people to leave that party and say to themselves, you know what? Those are some of the nicest plants I've ever seen. And damn, were those some good baked beans.
Did you see? What was in that pot that they were handing out? What was that? It was 97 degrees. We're sitting, we're baking under the sun.
He's just out.
Hot beans.
You know, you should have like an open fire. Have a nice like open fire.
Right. Could be like
cauldron.
Blazing Saddles. And that's one of the classic movies of all time.
Cauldron of baked beans.
Yeah, big old cauldron.
What kind of
fish don't fry in the kitchen?
Can I get you a second
serving?
Beans don't
burn on the grill.
So, Gordon, do you have a signature cocktail for the party? No, no, we actually have some signature beans.
No, we just have beans.
Come take. No, we're doing shots over here on the baked beans.
Highly flammable. What could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? Speaking of what could possibly go wrong, we have the New York Knicks. The Knicks are going to be a major focus today. It looks like, by all signs, that they will finally, Rick, have their point guard by landing Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, maybe not one either. I mean, I was listening to some of what Bagels was saying, is that they're going to be extremely active. It feels like a foregone conclusion that it's going to be Brunson. They get rid of Noel and Alec Burks, who I kind of liked, and attached a couple second-round picks and some money. So now they cleared enough space for, you know, close to a max for Jalen Brunson. And can we stop, please? It's like all we talk about, all we take calls on is, you know, we haven't had a point guard. We need a point guard. Can we get a point guard? How much better will R.J. Barrett be with a point guard and Julius Randle with a point guard? And can we get more out of, you know, Mitchell Robinson if he had a legitimate point guard? Now we finally look like we're going to have a point guard. And it's like, I can't believe we're going to pay him all this money.
Right.
Like, well, I mean, which one is it? I get it. Like, he's not Donovan Mitchell, or you know what I mean? He's not
CP3.
Yeah, like he's not the best point guard in the league, but he's a whole hell of a lot better than what we've had. And he's young enough where he kind of fits in what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, like seriously, like let's take the last decade. Who has been the Knicks' best point guard in the last decade? You know, it's probably been the second go-round of Derrick Rose, but you know Derrick Rose can't be a starting point guard because he can't handle that type of minutes load. But outside of him, I mean, what Alec Burks was the point guard last year for a good portion of the season. You know, who else are we talking? Right, Elfrid Payton, Jose Calderon. I mean, you know, like what are we talking about? It's been a very, I mean, I'm trying to think in like the last two decades. Like when was the last time the Knicks had a good point guard? That you say, you know what? Because it's been forever. I don't even remember the last time they had like a good point guard. When was the last time the Knicks had a point guard that you didn't think was an issue?
No, it's been forever. The equivalent of my Jets looking for a quarterback. It's the same thing. That's what, I mean, that's where we're at. It's what, I mean, it's, if this team is ever going to, if these young players are going to take that next step, and who knows what that next step is, but it's going to be better than it was last year, it's going to, I mean, it starts with that position. I mean, it's an important position, and we haven't had it. And I know people want to criticize Alec Burks and everything. That's not what he does. That's not what he's supposed to do. They're asking him to do something he's not comfortable doing. He did it because that's the kind of player he is, but, I mean, they needed to address it.
So, does this feel like, though, a move, like they had to clear out the cap space? And I think it's almost like meaningless who the players were that they got rid of. It was more about clearing out the money. But losing Alec Burks doesn't feel like the type of move that the coach would be a fan of.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think he's a player that Tibbs trusts and likes a lot. I mean, that's the one of the criticisms of Tibbs is that he's loyal to his veteran guys, which I completely understand. Like, young guys should earn their minutes. But, you know, coming off the foot surgery, maybe that was part of it. But they're desperate, man. They need to address the point guard position. What I don't like about the whole thing, and we talked about this a couple days ago, was You know, you're talking about moves. Like, you just brought Nerlens Noel back. You just, I mean, you just signed Kemba Walker. Like, this, these are Leon Rose moves that he just made.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
And now,
no,
I mean, and now we're attaching first-round picks and second-round picks and cash to try to clear up space for moves that you just made. Like, this is your mess you made, and now we're trying to clean it up on the fly. But, listen, I mean, I get it. It feels like it's a lot of money, but, you know, you're going to have to overpay. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. He's got a pretty good spot in Dallas. They can offer him an extra year. Sort of entice him to come over here for 4 years instead of 5 years. You're going to have to overpay a little bit.
And just to go to your point about the moves, they were all mistakes. They were all the wrong moves. It was clear, you know, basically from jump last year that the offseason was a disaster. So to kind of look on the positive side, at least they're admitting it, right? Like, at least they're not, like, holding on to the fact, well, you know what? We just got to give these guys time. We just have to have patience. No, they were mistakes. We screwed it up, and we got to move on. So at least they're admitting that, because sometimes that's not always the way it happens.
No, it's not. But this is, again, like, do I think it's going to be a good move? I do think it's going to be a good move. Was my, you know, number one hope was that they could find a way to get a Jaden Ivey, just because I think he's got more upside than Jalen Brunson. Yeah, that was what I wanted, but it didn't happen. But again, we're in a spot where we're going to have to overpay because we have made bad decisions. You're paying a premium because when you have the opportunity in the draft to address the position, you decided not to. Like, and this is not, I said this, Dave and I were talking about this before the draft. You need a point guard. If Tyrese Halliburton is available, take him. And we chose not to. We took Obi Toppin. So now we're in a spot where we still didn't have a point guard, and we're going to have to overpay now to get one. It's going to cost you money, or it's going to cost you draft picks. It was going to cost us draft picks to get, and young players probably, to get Jaden Ivey. That didn't happen. So now it's going to cost us extra money to get Jalen Brunson. That's the reality of the situation we're in.
It does kind of show you, though, that the GM, hiring the agent as the GM because of his connections, is kind of pointless, though. Because, like, look at all the connections that the Knicks front office has to Jalen Brunson, right? Leon Rose was Rick Brunson's first agent, and that was his first client. His son, Leon Rose's son, is now Jalen Brunson's agent now. And yet, with all those connections, you still had to wildly overpay. And I think it
and
is
you hired
overpay.
His dad. And yeah. You hired his dad as a coach.
Oh, right. You hired his dad, right. So, like, all those connections, they only get you to the point where you get to offer him a contract that is wildly overpaying him and kind of paying him based on the player you hope he's going to be rather than the player he is right now.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, too. Like, I mean, it's tough to really understand why we always get caught up in it, but it's not. Like, we always get caught up on, you know, trying to get a Donovan Mitchell or trying to get the, you know, the superstar from somewhere else that doesn't, you know, isn't happy with their situation, because that feels like the instant fix. And I guess I kind of understand that, because we've had such a hard time of drafting and developing a superstar. Like, I mean, when was the last time the Knicks have given a second contract to somebody? Like, it hasn't happened, right?
Happen so generally.
So we're going to go find someone from, you know, a different team and bring them in, and that'll change everything. But, like you just mentioned, all the connections that Jalen Brunson has to the Knicks now. Agent, dad's one of the coaches, and you're still going to have to overpay to get him. Because at the end of the day for these players, as much as a Donovan Mitchell would want to, like, loves the idea of being in New York and loves going to Mets games and all that, you're still trying to win. And you're still, you know, once you make that decision, you're still at the mercy of the front office and the decisions that they make. And there hasn't been enough continuity or success as far as that's concerned for, I would imagine, for these star players to actually trust it. Like, there's a reason why, you know, I think the thought initially for Kevin Durant was, you know, being a Knick would be great. And I get that Kyrie pulls him to Brooklyn, but I'm like, if I put myself in his shoes, it's like, well, I'm trying to win a championship. Do I trust that they're going to make the right moves to help me win a championship? Are they going to build the right team around me to help me win a championship? Because if the money's the same, the idea of playing in New York is great. But if for some reason I'm not surrounded with the right pieces and we lose, New York is not a great place to play. Like, if things go sideways for, I don't care who you are, this is a tough place to play. Winning is great. Losing here, whew. Like, I don't know if there's a worse place to lose in sports than New York. Like, I mean, seriously, like, look what happened to, we went from chanting MVP for Julius Randle till last year. You saw what happened with that.
Right. It turned in a hurry.
like Stan. I mean, look what happened with Stanton when he first got here, and now he's handled it like a pro. Like, I mean, that's you should.
It's taken a long time for that to turn.
So it's I mean, it's difficult. It's not easy, especially when you're coming with making a lot of money and high expectations. But this is this is a good first step, and I understand people are going to call and say it's too much money. But the reality of when you look at how much money he's going to make, it's I mean, he'll be the 14th highest paid point guard if he gets somewhere around $110 million for the 4 years. Like, that's not terrible. I mean, it's not going to kill you. And it's going to make R.J. Barrett better. Yeah. I mean, hell, you didn't have a point guard last year. You won 37 games.
Right. Well, look, they have the point guard. It looks. I mean, all signs are pointing to that this is going to get done. Now the question is, are the Knicks going to be a playoff team? Because that's why you make all these moves. And I think the Knicks, especially with Leon Rose, they've tried to remain flexible but also develop some level of credibility in the process. And after you make the playoffs in year one, are not even remotely close in year two, this entire offseason has to be about getting back to not even being a contender. That's too big a jump to make. But just to have that credibility of, are you a playoff team?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not going to lie to you. I do like a nice baked bean.
See? And you're from Boston, right?
Yeah, Boston. So, the bean pot.
Right.
You're looking at a bean pot MVP right here, buddy.
I'm not really sure what that is, but yeah, I mean your reputation. I mean your resume is well stated. I mean, you're a very successful man.
I don't know about that. I don't know about all that, but I did win a beanpot.
Absolutely. In the history of life, you are the 1% of the 1%, my friend.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that sometimes, but
now,
hey, listen, I'll take it.
Of course, I'm sure, but just know that I want you to know that.
I appreciate you saying that. That makes me feel good because I know at some point now you're gonna crush my Mets and we're gonna have to.
No, not at all. We'll talk about the Mets later. God knows there's no pressing need to talk about that performance last night. We could put that off till the 7 o'clock hour.
Can we find a way to get Yordan Alvarez out just one time? Can we do it, please?
It does not seem that way.
No, it doesn't.
That's the beauty of baseball is that every day you have a game. So like when you have a bad performance like that, you flip the script, and today it's a nice 1 o'clock start against Justin Verlander.
That's just what you need. You haven't just lost three games all season, and now we're going to get Justin Verlander great.
And as the great John Sterling always says, you can't predict baseball.
Yeah.
Feels like you can predict this one, but we never know.
You're such a bad guy.
Feels like it, but...
You're a bad guy.
That's why we tune in. It's the best reality show in the world. All right, 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number, 1-800-919-3776. So I guess the question is, are the Knicks a playoff team? Rick, do you think that this puts them back in the conversation? Maybe not, top six, but, I mean, last year, they were not even really a hint for the play-in. Do you look at them as now a top eight team, a top 10 team? It obviously improves them, right? If you have a legitimate point guard, leave the money out of it. But, now you have somebody who could actually run the point. And you'd have to say, even before he plays a minute, even with his limited success outside of this past year, Jalen Brunson already is in the conversation of best Knick point guards in the last decade.
Well, and the other thing attractive to him should be that this is going to be his team. You know what I mean? Like, this is not, he's not playing second fiddle to Luka Doncic. Like, this is, he'll get to run the show. So that's one of the bonuses of coming over here. It's a lot of pressure. The worst thing that could happen to this Knicks team was because of everything that went on that season, was finishing fourth. Because it accelerated the process. It accelerated right. The expectations.
Once you have that year, you don't get... That's the honeymoon period. If you're ever going to struggle, year one, you can blame it away on everybody else, and people will not be happy about it, but they'll kind of accept it. But by year two, you have to kind of hit the ground running. And if you have success in year one, well, you've really kind of screwed yourself, because now you have to build on that success. There's no, hey, we had a good year last year. No, nobody wants to hear that.
No, I mean, the phone calls that we took before last season were, I mean, everyone expected, and maybe foolishly, that the next step for the Knicks would be, you know, winning a first-round playoff series. And that was, I mean, that couldn't have been further from what happened for a bunch of different reasons last year.
Yeah, it was a complete regression. Started with Randall, kind of fed from there, and now this offseason, they are making moves. We will see if this is the last move. I know you mentioned that DeJounte Murray is a name that's been out there. Knicks, it seems like, have cleared enough cap space where this is not going to be the only move. And now we just kind of wait to see, once this one is complete and finalized, what other areas the Knicks go.
Well, I think that's one of the X factors. When you ask me the question, what will the Knicks be this upcoming season? I think that Julius Randle's a big part of that. What version of Julius Randle are you getting? Like, is he going to be willing to kind of, I'm not going to say that, you know, take a back seat, but, you know, allow Jalen Brunson to do what he needs to do? Because, I mean, last year for Julius Randle was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, that was back to when we first got Julius Randle, and people couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Right.
So, in theory, this should make everyone better, because it's going to take the pressure off the guys to do things like, Julius Randle shouldn't have to handle the ball as much.
Right.
RJ Barrett shouldn't have to handle the ball as much. It should get it should get more offensively out of Obi Toppin. We'll see what happens if they decide to bring Mitchell Robinson back or not. But I mean, that it should make things a whole hell of a lot easier for everybody on the floor.
It's almost like when you get your team gets an ace pitcher, and now you can slot everybody into the right spaces that they're supposed to be, rather than asking Alec Burks to be the point guard and Julius Randle to bring the ball up the court and all those kind of things.
Exactly right.
1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. All right, let's get some calls in here. Let's see how the Knick fan base is dealing with this. D is in Queens. D, you're first up on DPHRO.
Hey,
D.
What's up?
What's going on, D?
Hey, guys, what's up, man? I have two issues. Hello?
Yeah
we're
ahead.
Here. We're waiting for your two issues. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The two issues is Allen Iverson, Chris Paul, who's a choker in the playoffs, by the way, and Isaiah Thomas.
You would take Chris Paul. You would take Chris Paul in the second.
Say it again.
You would take Chris Paul in a second on the Knicks.
I get that, and that's what I'm saying. None of these small guards don't tend to do big things in the NBA. And on top of that, he played next to Luka, which occupied a lot of space. You never really see him without Luka consistently when people are planning for him, and then he's going to hurt your defense. That, because he's so small.
Well, he can't. But D, let's be honest. D, let's be honest. He can't be worse than Kemba Walker was defensively.
Oh no, nothing could be worse than Kemba Walker, because he was done. I mean, I feel bad because I remember those UConn days. He was done. He just, that's it. When you're done, you're done. But, I mean, Halliburton was the big mistake. That was the turning point, and now they got to do all this garbage. But I just don't see it with this guy. I've seen him play. I've watched Dallas play. He's okay, but I don't see it. And it's
here's the thing for me,
back,
though.
I think they're overpaying to clean up.
D, here's the thing, though. Like, I'm not expecting him to all of a sudden now, because this is his team, to turn into a superstar. That's not my expectation. My expectation is he comes in, And he makes R.J. Barrett better, and he makes Julius Randle better, and he makes Obi Toppin better. He makes everything easier for them. That's my hope. Because I was saying this last year, as bad as it looks sometimes, like, I felt like they never really got a fair shot to see what it actually was, because you never had a point guard. Like, that's the most important position as far as, you know, running an offense. Like, you'd watch their half-court offense sometimes, and you'd be like, what? I mean, do they practice?
They would come out of timeout sometimes, and you'd be like, what was that?
Say what you want about Chris. Listen, say what you want about Chris Paul. The second Chris Paul goes anywhere, everyone gets better.
Exactly.
Everyone gets better.
Yeah. And it's not fair because he can't do it on a regular. I mean, how much of a difference did Derrick Rose make?
Listen, if Derrick Rose could have stayed healthy last year, it might have been the difference. But he hasn't. Unfortunately, I mean, he's with his knees and everything else. He just can't play that much.
Yov is in Israel. Yov, you're next up on DiPietro and Damer.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Gordon. I want to ask you this, Rick. So I think 2 years ago, when Fred Van Vliet was a free agent, and every Knicks fan was, no, we don't sign him. He's $100 million. It's going to cost us down the road with the cap space. And now we're going to sign Jalen Brunson for 27. For me, Van Vliet is by far the better defender, the better shooter, the better player all around her. And now we're going to give Brunson 27, and Van Vliet is only getting 20, and you didn't give him the 20 because you didn't want to bring up a mess in cap space? I mean, what a situation with these Knicks. And I mean, now they're getting rid of contract they signed last summer. They're making up on their own mistake. It's not like it's Steve Mills' mistake or Phil Jackson. It's their own mistake. They signed Nerlens Noel.
I know,
Noel,
but there are mistakes that were made. Like, what's the alternative? Right, yes, they're making up for the mistakes that they made last offseason. Would you rather
don't
them
make,
live with the mistakes
them,
they made last offseason?
Don't make them the first place.
Me well, yes, I, obviously, if they could avoid making the mistakes, they would have avoided it. But like
but
when you've already...
we can all agree that mistakes
were made. But like when you realize that the mistakes were made, what's the path forward? Either you have to get rid of the mistakes and do what you have to do to get rid of what you've done wrong, or you just say, well, you know what, we already made these mistakes, we just have to stay with it.
Listen, I understand the frustration. He's not, Yo isn't wrong.
Like, no, you're right.
These mistakes were just made. But I mean, it all starts with, you know, a bigger mistake, and then the other mistakes follow because you're reacting to the mistake that you already made. Like, there have been plenty of times so that the Knicks have had opportunities to address this problem and haven't done it. I mean, you could have had Donovan Mitchell, but you took Frank Ntilikina. Like, you go through, I mean, there's been plenty of opportunities. Haliburton would have addressed this, we wouldn't be talking about it. But you didn't. So you tried to do something else, and it was, you know, it was Kemba Walker, and that clearly, I mean, great story, but didn't work. And now we're at this point where, you know, you've done everything in your power, cleared space, brought in his dad, you got the connections with Leon Rose, his son's Jalen Brunson's agent, so you're going to try this. And is it a lot of money? It's a lot of money. But listen, you desperately need a point guard, desperately. So you're going to have to pay for it, especially because Dallas can offer him a fifth year. He's not going to do you a favor. You know what? My dad's the coach. Leon, you know, your son's my agent. I'll give you guys a break. I won't take the 5 years with Dallas. I'll come here. I'll take the four, and you can get, you know, pay me less than what I would get. No big deal. It's not going to happen.
Well, look, I can understand being concerned about the money and the moves you will be prevented from making because you've put all this money in the one basket, but it's like baseball with free agency. If you only make reasonable offers to all the free agents, you'll always finish third.
Well, this is when you spend the most money is in free agency. This is when you get held over the barrel.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, too, like $25 million a year seems like a lot of money. Russell Westbrook's making $47 million this year. 47. Like that. I mean,
that's a big piece of change. Big number. Big number.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I've heard some talk that, you know, the Knicks have now cleared out this cap space, and DeJounte Murray is a possibility. Maybe they're star chasing with Donovan Mitchell still. We'll have to wait and see, but It does at least give you something that you're like, okay, maybe this front office realizes that year three cannot look like year two, Rick, because otherwise, if it does, there's not going to be a year four. Maybe they feel a little bit of pressure here to get some stuff done.
Well, of course they do. I mean, at the end of last season, people were already talking about getting rid of Tibbs.
Right. Coach of the year, get out of here,
you're out.
Bum.
You're done. Let's say, and you wonder why this thing has been a mess. We all want to do it the right way, and then year two of the coach, there's just one coach of the year, and you're the four seed, you're ready to fire him because you don't like his rotations. Come on, man. I mean, look at the call screen right now.
Yeah.
Look what we're dealing with. I mean, how ridiculous.
Knicks fans are not happy with this. Do not like the move. Let's go to
Take Emmanuel and Flushing, please. I can't wait to hear this.
All right, Emmanuel and Flushing, you're next up on 98.7 FM. Good morning, Emmanuel.
Hey, good morning, guys. You brought up Chris Paul. Listen, yeah, I think he makes his teams better regular season-wise, but when it comes to playoffs, it's a different conversation. I mean, look at Chris Paul's resume. I mean, he hasn't really, you know, get it done when it matter. I mean, when he was with the Clippers, mostly with Blake Griffin, you know, not recent. Then of course with the Rockets with James Harden, and even the Suns recently when they went to the finals, up to all they couldn't get it done.
Okay, what did you just say, Emmanuel? What was that last point you just made when they were where the Suns were where? When the Suns were where
against the Bucks.
And they were in the what? And what was that? Was that the regular
round
season?
Was that?
What round? Oh, that was the NBA finals. Yeah, that was the NBA finals.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then they won 64 games last season. So as a Knicks fan, you wouldn't want that kind of consistent success. You'd be so hell bent on he doesn't get it done in the NBA finals that we wouldn't want to just, you know what? We won't take Chris Paul because we don't want to be in the NBA finals because we know he won't get it done in the NBA finals.
It's like the guy who looks at the model and he's like, yeah, I don't really like her. She's got those crow's feet on the side there. The way her nose crinkles when she laughs, I don't like it. Don't like it. Like, I mean, you know, like how long has it been since the Knicks have even had a dream of the NBA finals?
No, I mean, you've been stuck in the desert and now you know what? You keep that. That's what is that? No, that's just regular water.
No,
I'm all set.
No,
I was hoping for Gatorade.
This is not even cold. I can't take this.
Yeah, this is room temperature. What are we doing here?
Room temperature. You don't have an ice cube out here?
Oh my God!
It's
what are we doing?
Bruce in Brooklyn. Bruce, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
I'm good, Bruce. What's going on?
Well, I'm furious, Rick. You said it right before the break. Jalen Brunson. You have to bring his father in on the coaching staff. Leon Rose's son is his agent. It all just stinks. And on top of it, you have to overpay to get him over here. Am I missing something? Was he an all-team player, an all-NBA player or something? He benefited from playing next to Luka. He had one big game in the playoffs that everyone got giddy about. I don't understand how this move is the future, is going to make the Knicks better in the future. It's good that the
because Bruce, here's the thing, because it should make who you hope you. I mean, you're hoping that there's one player on this team right now that develops himself into a superstar, and that's R.J. Barrett. And if this can help facilitate that, then it's a good move. But you're looking at it the wrong way. I mean, listen, you started the call with listen to all the things that had to be done. Leon Rose was his dad's agent. Leon Rose's son is now his agent. You had to hire his dad as one of the coaches and then overpay him just to get him to the Knicks. What does that say about where the Knicks are at?
Right, exactly. And what would it have said if they still couldn't get this guy?
Could you imagine that?
Oh, my God, that's an embarrassment, right? You got all these people. You hired his dad. You're way widely overpaying him. And that he decides to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go back to Dallas. And look, up until yesterday, it seemed like it was still kind of 50-50.
I didn't really want to play for my dad.
Dad's on his own. And by the way, because a couple of people have brought it up. Oh, he's just benefiting from playing with Luka. He in the 44 games without Luka in his career, Brunson has averaged 16, 6 assists, and 3.5 rebounds a game. 44 games. So not that small of a sample size. Not like 3 games.
No, it's an opportunity for him now to be, it's his team. And you see what he can do with it. I mean, forget the money for a second. It's the pressing need right now for the Knicks. And as far as what's available, you missed on Jaden Ivey. And now this was, in my opinion, the second best option. So you see how, again, I go back to the point. This is not about Jalen Brunson all of a sudden turning himself into a superstar. I don't know if he's capable of doing that. The hope is, can he turn R.J. Barrett into a superstar? That's what we need. We got to find a way to develop our own superstar. And the hope, you tell me, outside of right now what you've seen from everybody else on the Knicks, the young players in the Knicks, who's the one guy you can point to and say he has the potential maybe to turn himself into something like that?
It would be R.J. Barrett.
That's it, right?
Yep.
It starts with that. Because, I mean, again, like you just listed the things that it's going to take to get Jalen Brunson. And we want to pretend like this is a destination for, you know, Why wouldn't Dame Lillard want to come here? Why wouldn't Donovan Mitchell want to come here? Well,
they,
I mean,
they don't.
They don't. It's a problem. I mean, they don't.
We know that. We know this.
So now we bent over backwards. We did whatever it takes, and now we'll see what happens tomorrow. But, I mean, the expectation is we'll have a point guard.
Kenny in Jersey. Kenny, you're next up on DiPietro and Damer.
All right. Good morning, fellas. Really, I was one of the few people who didn't mind what the Knicks did on draft day. But this Jalen Brunson thing is really kind of aggravating me because it seems like the Knicks need a point guard who can stop other point guards.
But Kenny, you had one. You didn't like him. Yeah, Elfrid Payton. That's what Elfrid Payton was. No one liked him. Couldn't wait to get rid of Elfrid Payton because he
wasn't that great of a scorer, so they didn't like him. But if you notice, what's our downfall? Other point guards killing us every game, killing us. Trading them kill us every game, so we need a point guard who can stop point guards.
Well, no, Kenny, like you have Kenny. Brunson. Kenny, here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Is you don't necessarily have to have a point guard that can stop other point guards because you're still looking for a point guard that can run the offense and score. It's how about we have a point guard that can kill other point guards?
Right, but when you got guys, we still got Julius Randle who's going to dominate the ball. So
hopefully that's not the case.
That is the case right now, Rick. It's the case right now.
But that's not why you're bringing in Jalen Brunson, though. I get what you're saying, Kenny, but the hope here is bringing in Jalen Brunson all of a sudden now takes some of that ball handling out of Julius Randle's hands. Like, he's not expected to do that. Like, he can find his spots. Jalen Brunson can get him the ball, and he can score. I mean, he doesn't have to take every shot. Feels like it's a tough shot that he takes. It's dribble, dribble, dribble. Hopefully, I mean, double team comes. Hopefully it doesn't get stolen, and then he takes a tough shot. I mean, having a good point guard is to make everyone else better. It's to make it easier on everybody else.
And there's no area that you would say with the Knicks that there is the greater need for an upgrade. Like going from where they are to just like league average, just a league average point guard would make it a giant leap in terms of their offense and running plays and all that type of stuff.
All of that. So, yeah, man, listen, is it the perfect move? No, it's not the perfect move.
No, of course
move.
Not. But you got to walk before you can run here, people. And I get it. Like, locking yourself into two non-superstar players for the next 4 years in Brunson and Randle is not, you know, probably not how you would draw it up. But you got to look where you're coming from. Like, you have to find some way to move forward. You can't just say, well, no, that wouldn't work. No, we got to go. We got to keep taking the shot from three quarters court. Eventually, we're going to hit one of them. Sometimes you got to take the ones that are available to you a little bit closer in, a little higher percentage.
Yeah, but let's not forget, too, the other thing. I mean, one of the big strengths for the Knicks 2 years ago was their bench, right? Now, Derrick Rose being hurt last year was a problem, but I think part of the problem last year was also having guys play out of, you know, take on roles that didn't best suit them. Like that bench, you know, with IQ and Rose coming off the bench was dynamic, man. Like that was a huge bonus for us. Like that was one of the things that really could separate us from other teams, and that wasn't available to us last year. So now all of a sudden you bring in Brunson, it lets IQ settle into his role. It hopefully gets the ball out of Julius's hands as much. RJ can do what he like. It can make things easier on RJ. No, maybe you get more production offensively from the center position, since our center. I mean, if we bring back Mitchell Robinson, he can't shoot, right? So maybe we get more stuff at the rim for him because we have a legitimate point guard. It can't make us worse.
No,
it can't.
Like you might say, you could argue that their ceiling is not going to be as high as you would like, but you have to admit, even the most pessimistic person, the floor has been raised. Like where they are in terms of like worst case scenario is automatically better.
Automatically. Has to be.
Well, all right. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's see here. Ricardo is in the car. Ricardo, you're next up on 98.7 FM.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good morning, Dame and Rick. And good morning to the company. You know, my problem is really not signing Brunson. I think he's a good player. The money changes every year, so I don't think in 2 or 3 years the money will look as bad. So I think people need to calm down with that. My problem is obviously trusting the front office because they haven't really shown that, you know, they can get the job done as far as the signings. And two, I really wonder about, are the coaches going to be able to really have the proper spacing for Brunson to succeed? Because in Dallas, a lot of it was four out, you know, pick and roll. The big man would pop out, shoot threes. We don't really have that. So those are my real concerns. It's not signing him or for the money. It's can we put him in the best position to succeed and for everybody else to succeed. And hopefully Randall can play that kind of second role, you know, let kind of step back when you need to and not, you know, feel like if he's not dominating or not have the ball in his hand that he can't contribute. So those are my real worries. You guys have a great day.
All right, Ricardo. Well, look, that's on the coach, right? I mean, it's the coach to get – the front office's job is to get the pieces that can succeed, and then it's about the coach putting those pieces in the best position.
Well, but it's also having the front office and the coaching staff working together, because last year it didn't feel like they were working together. Like, it didn't feel like Leon Rose got Tibbs what he needed.
No.
It never felt like it fit.
And if that was what he needed, we have to wonder what his problem was, yeah.
But I think, I mean, what he just said, I think, is for me, is one of the biggest things moving forward is, you know, how does Julius Randle react to this? Like, what kind of season does he have coming off of what happened last season? Because that was tough, man. I mean, that was a fall from grace. That happened fast.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the season, you know, the playoff year, that really is the outlier of his career. Now, I wanted to buy into it because you heard all the stories about how he bought in and he changed his body and he put in his work and then he gets the contract and it really went back to essentially the guy he was in year one. So now, you know, year four of him with the Knicks, is it going to get a lot closer back to year two? I think you have to take some of the pressure off of him with better. I mean, we all talked about after the playoff year, it's clear the Knicks have to improve the overall talent base. And they did not do that. Somehow, against all odds, they actually made the talent base worse. So this year, you have to kind of hope that that Jalen Brunson coming in here at least gives you a credible point guard with some upside. And you're overpaying him, but you're going to have to overpay anybody to get him to come here. That's just the way it is.
Well, and plus it's free agency too. I mean, again, when you're dealing with a player like Jalen Brunson who had, you know, some impressive moments during the postseason, and the owner comes out and says, listen, we want to keep him, and they can offer him a fifth year. You're going to have – this is why are we shocked? This is what happens in free agency. If you're relying on free agency to upgrade your team, you're going to overpay. That's what happens in free agency, is you overpay. He's not going to give you a deal.
No.
It's what's going to happen to the Yankees with Aaron Judge. They're going to have to overpay if they want to keep him. This is what happens when you let the player get to free agency. I mean, the problems start when you don't draft right. You make bad decisions in the draft. That's when the problems start. And you don't develop the players and keep the players that you draft. But right now, you needed a point guard. He's the guy you've targeted. You've cleared the cap space. It looks like, you know, knock on wood, you're going to get him. You still have, I mean, you have some good young players. Right? Like, I'm excited to see what Quentin Grimes is going to look like. I think Jericho Sims is a terrific athlete. Hopefully, RJ Barrett takes that. I mean, if he averaged the 20 he wanted, hopefully he takes that next step now, because it's easier for him because he's got a point guard. And listen, you said it. I mean, this has raised the floor. They won 37 games last year, which was unacceptable. They're going to be better. Now, how good? I don't know if we know, because there's going to be other teams that are getting better too. And the East has got some really good teams, but it's going to be better than it was last year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people are reacting like it's the same old Knicks where, you know, like, take a look at what it was like before Leon Rose got here. And I get it. You know, last offseason was terrible. The fact that they've had to move off contracts they signed less than 12 months ago, that's all bad. You have questions about what the ceiling could be with this group. But take a look at where they're coming from. You know, I mean, you have to – I think Leon Rose was brought in to establish some level of credibility. They're not going to – when they brought him in, they weren't going to go and hire some first-time head coach. No, they were going to go hire – the veteran coach where you know what you're going to kind of get, and that's what it's been with Tibbs so far. Year one, fantastic. Greater than any of us could have expected. Year two, giant step back. So I think that at least this kind of plays on brand with what I kind of think the Knicks are trying to do. And then, you know, a point guard should be able to help boost that in a major way, because they've not had one in basically forever.
Well, yeah, but again, I think part of the other problem, too, is that they've, because of what they did in year one, it's sped up the process. So from year one, you're supposed to take that next step because you were fourth and, you know, you lost. You kind of got exposed in that Atlanta series, but it was the expectation was year two we'll get better and then we'll continue to grow. Instead, year two we take a step back. So yeah, there's a sense of there's a sense of urgency now that we need to get back to winning. And that's usually what happens too. I mean, Leon Rose, when they hired him, I understood it, but having just fresh off the Brody Van Wagenen experiment,
not exactly the boat you want to get into.
No, but again, you got a guy who's who's brought in for his relationships and everything else. He's not first time doing the job. Yeah, you're gonna hire a coach that's gonna bring instant credibility, which is what they did with Tibbs. So we'll see. And I understand some of the criticisms of Tibbs, but I don't think Tibbs was given what he needed last season to have success.
No, there was nobody. What they were given, like last year was to complain about Tibbs last year, like cooking a bad meal. All the food was rancid. I mean, you know what I mean? Like what did you want him to do? I mean, they brought in Kemba was clearly washed. I mean, there was no other way to, and Fournier, as bad as Fournier was, you were asking him to play in a role, break down defenders. He's a catch and shoot guy. That you were playing him completely out of his role. So now with a point guard, that's another guy we haven't even mentioned. Fournier, if they keep him, he should kind of be in a far better position to succeed this year than last.
Yeah, I was hoping they would. I have a hard time with him. I was hoping they would find a way to move on from him. But if they keep him, you're right. Again, but this is how good teams work. Like when you look at most good teams, everyone has a role. Everyone's put in a role where they're going to have the best opportunity to have the most success. And last year, guys were in roles that didn't best suit them. They were being asked to do things that they just weren't really capable of doing. And that was out of necessity. I get it. But now, hopefully, because you've addressed this position, it makes it kind of slots everyone into where they need to be and what they're being asked to do. And everyone is better because of it.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.